from prison that I used to work with, write me from the prison. She got transferred upstate, so she wrote me and she asked me a question, and the Lord brought me to this. I was really studying this out for Sunday school, and I said, man, that answers her question as well. And so I kind of went there with that, and so I'm gonna, let's read just let's Isaiah 49. Let's go to verse 22. It says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, that's us, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring in thy sons and their arms and their daughters, they should be carrying their shoulders. So we read here that God has a standard. Okay, when God says that he called the people, or when he told the people something, that's because he's about to give them something from him. It's not that he's asking man for his input. He's not asking what man thinks. He's not asking what man considers. He said, I'm going to give them my standard. Singular. That is not in plural form, okay? There's not standards. There's a standard that God has set. It's in a singular form. It's used in a singular form. So we have to understand right off the bat, this is going to be God's way. It's not going to be anything else. There's no compromise when it's God's way, okay? A lot of people want to take the word of God and they want to compromise it to fit their way, and God says, no way, okay? A lot of people say, well, brass doesn't fit when you make the altar. Good, I'm glad it doesn't fit in your sense. God didn't want you to make it fit in your sense because he wanted to remove you out of the whole process, okay? God, what's that?
Kind of like how he showed me that if the brass was on the outside, not the inner.
Correct, okay? Brass was what?
On the outside.
It was on the inside as well.
Okay.
Because it was, remember, they dipped it in. So the whole thing got covered.
That's right.
But regardless, and that's a good point, but regardless, it doesn't fit man's, what man's thinking is, so man wants to change it. They want to try to make it fit what they think. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, again, we got to understand it. God doesn't think like we think. He doesn't do the things that, like we do. That's why when you think that you have everything lined up with God, and all of a sudden it says, he said, no, you're supposed to take a left turn there. You go, that don't make sense to me. I should go right. No, you should go left. No, I should go right. No, see, God has his ways. He has things that he does, and he doesn't want man's input. And part of that example is, and I love to use it, and it goes on with many, many more things. It's the example of him, the people changing. Brass to bronze, which is never in your Bible, not one time, or the Acacia tree with sugar wood. And you go and look, at the rest of the structure of that building, and any wood that's used in the tabernacle is sugar wood. Because God understands. Now, at this point, we're starting in Exodus, okay? And at this point, Exodus 25, God's given them the measurements. He's telling them what they should use. At that point, at that moment, they just came across the Red Sea. They're out of Egypt. And God stops them here and says, now I want this done. At that point, did they know they were going to be in the wilderness 40 years? To them, using that heavy wood and using the stuff that God asked them to do wouldn't make sense. But to God, it did. Because he knew they were going to be there for 40 years. He knew what it was going to take for that thing. Could you imagine if they would have made it out of cheap stuff? It would just kept breaking down. They would have had to keep repairing it, keep fixing it. Just like anybody else, just like people today, we like to give God second best. So, God, you asked for gold, but I'm going to go ahead and give you bronze. God said, no, I want gold because it's for me. And so that people do that in their life today. Okay? Well, Lord, I'm going to keep the gold. I'll give you silver. I'll give you second best. God says, no way. He's God. I want the best. I want what you have. I want the first fruits. I want the best of things. I'm God. I'm the one who delivered you. I'm the one who saved you. I'm the one who pulled you out of this thing. I'm the one who's going to take care of you. For the next 40 years, you guys don't understand. You're about to be in that desert. And I'm going to take care of you. So just listen to what I say. So God sets a standard. And man, because it doesn't make sense to man, we want to go and change it, and it corrupts everything. It messes everything up, okay? So that's why when I do my studies, I'm real careful to just dive into anything that would make sense, okay? And I'm real careful, and God is the one who shows us that. He gives us those things, but we need to search it out. So we're looking at God's standards in the singular form. It's his way. Though the word standard is used in its singular form, there are many substandards that God has set up, okay? So salvation, We know that's God's. There's nothing else. That's His standard. There's only one way to Him. Okay? But then you have your subway. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You got to be born again. There comes repentance. Those are substandards that God has set. Okay? That's why. Because it's His standard. It ultimately comes up to what He has set and not us. Here we are. We think today, so many people are trapped in this. Today's salvation is, I'm going to run you through some things. I'm going to make you pray a prayer and you're okay. Okay? That is not God's standard for salvation. Psalm 51 verse 17. The sacrifices of God are what? Broken heart, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And then Job 33, 27 and 20 says, He looks down upon man to see if any have sinned, perverted that which is right. I can't think of the last line of there. And it profited not. Okay? And so God is looking for the contrition. He's looking for that place where He gets you out of everything. He takes you and He sets you aside. And everything that was ever done to you or that you've done, He says, that's not what I'm worried about. That stuff is nothing. I can heal that. I'm the divine physician. I can take care of that. But what's got to be taken care of first is what me and you have in between us. What me and you have. Job 10:1 says it the best. He says, Lord, don't condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. What is that in between me and you that we have to deal with? And that's the miracle. After that is shown, after you realize what God has to show you, show me that I was just being a rebel. My whole entire life I was a rebel and I wouldn't listen to anybody. And God had to bring that to light. You go, that's pretty simple. Yes, maybe for you that was pretty simple, but for this guy it wasn't. Okay? It wasn't easy for me to see that. And I got saved. And you know what happened, Eric? A healing began. God started taking off those band-aids, Tim, and He healed them. No longer did I have to cover them up with drugs and alcohol and women and everything else. He said, no, I can take that band-aid off now. I'm going to heal that thing. And a healing process began in Del Morey's life. But you know what, Beth? It wasn't on my standard. It wasn't on some doctor's standard. It was on Jesus Christ. It was on God's standard. It was on how He was going to do it. You see, so many people are reaching for God their way. There's only one way to God, and it's His way. There is no other way. And until we can get to that point, we have a willingness in our heart and a willingness in our mind to be diligent in seeking God. You got to be diligent. You got to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to face that pain. God's standard was this, for Him to open my eyes to who I really was. And you know what that was? That was a very painful process. When you're going through healing, you get worse before you get better. And that's the same thing how God works it. He's going to turn your insides out and it's going to hurt like crazy. But you know what? In the end, it's a healing. It's a healing I never had in my entire life. Why? Because I did it on my standard? No, I tried doing it on my standard. I tried professions after professions after professions after professions. And you know what? No fruit. Nothing. Nothing ever happened. I still was the same Dale Morey. Still just trying to live a false life and trying to change my ways on my own. And it never worked. Why is it that this year, this time, it'd be 6 years ago, why is it this time that everything has changed in my life, Eric? And you know what? I didn't even work at changing things in my life. God has wrought that in me. Why is that? How many times, is this my second round or third round of trying to start a Sunday school? But since I've been saved, the Sunday school's been going just strong, just as fine for almost 5.5, 6. Why is that? It wasn't my standard. You guys know, I wasn't out looking for the jail ministry. It's not, matter of fact, I was throwing a fit because I had to go sit in a class and learn about going into the jail because that's not what I was looking for. Guess where God put me? Okay? Because it was His standards, man. And people are just getting this whole thing all messed up. These churches out there are poisoning people. Because they're allowing them to live by their standards, by what they think is right. Listen, if we could run our own life, Tim, then why would we need God? Tell me this, Sam. Why would Jesus Christ have to die if we knew what we were doing? Why? What would He have to go up on that cross for? Why would the crown of thorns have to be kicked on His head? Why would He have to be beaten, His beard pulled out and get spit on and mocked and nailed to a cross? And then the worst thing of all, you guys got to understand, that was pretty simple for Jesus Christ. He wasn't afraid of that garbage. You know what He was afraid of? His Father turning His head on Him because He couldn't look at our sin. But you know what? He did that. So if it was that important, I mean, if it was that serious, if it was that serious where God couldn't look upon Jesus because he became sin for us, then what about the seriousness of our life? Shouldn't our life be holy? For I am holy, saith the Lord. Where's the holiness today? Everybody's living by their standards. I can tell you this right now. If I were to continue on living by my standards, this Sunday school wouldn't be going. I definitely wouldn't be in the jail ministry. My family and me probably would be departed. We would probably be, I would be in prison, a drug addict or dead or anything else. I sure wouldn't be dressed like this, though I love it. I'm comfortable. It's not a hard issue for me. I don't want you to get the wrong impression on that. I'm not forced this. Why do I love coming to church so much? Why do I look forward to getting up today? Why do I look forward to coming on Wednesdays and Thursdays? Why do I look forward to everything that God has done in my life? Why do I look forward to that stuff? Because I'm living by His standards. His stand, hey, you know what his standards has done? Changed my life. Changed my life. I remember the first 6-7 months, man, loving it. I mean, woo, I was on fire. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You saved me and all. And then the Lord strapped the boots on me. Says, now it's time for training. You know what happened during that training, Randy? The same thing that happens in the military. They go in there and they want to tear down your thinking and put theirs in there. And that's what God does to us. He wants to tear down our thinking, tear down our ways, and it changes. Me and Pastor were talking. One of the biggest ways you know somebody got saved is change. Change. You change. You're no longer yourself anymore. You realize that I belong to somebody else. It's not by my standards that I live anymore. I don't have a book at home. I don't take this here and go, oh, this is Dale's standards. This is what I'm going to live by. No. Right here. This is my standard. Okay? That's what God gave me to live by. And you know what happens with this? You know what happens with this thing when you believe it? You start living it. There's always an action with belief. And when you start believing this, and you start living this, things start changing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it said, all things are, present tense, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's all. It's talking present tense. It's not talking about in the past. It's talking about right now as I speak, as I sit here today. There's things in my life that God is working on that He does not want in there anymore. He takes them out and replaces it with something that He wants. What do you think that's going to do to me? The new creature He talks about. Yeah. That's what I am that stands before you. It's not a work thing. Because if I had to change it on my own, I wouldn't. Just being honest. For 40 years, I didn't know how to change my life. I reached out to doctors. I reached out to drugs and alcohol and women and gangs. That's what I reached out to. I was reaching out to everything possible except for God, the very one who could change my life for eternity. And I just kept blowing them off. Why? Because I didn't want His standards. Oh, if I could just get it through to your head how wonderful God's standards really are. They're not a burden. It's not a bad thing to do. It's not a horrible thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to follow God's standards. It's not a burden. And if in here, if God's standards are a burden for your life, then you missed the mark. You missed it. You missed it. Because 2 Corinthians 11 says the simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity. Okay? The simplicity that's in Christ. Because He comes... Anybody in here disagree with me that God is all-powerful and almighty? Is there anybody in here who does not agree with that? Then how can I, if I have God in the living inside of me, not change, even in the least a little bit? Tell me, how is that even possible? Are you telling me God is that weak? Your Bible says one or two things. If you live by the flesh and you're a Christian, you're going to die by it. You will be dead. He will take you out of here because He's not going to have you spreading His name through the mud. That's what it says. If you're not killed, then you missed the mark. You're just not His child. And are you in here going to, when you get married and have babies, you're not going to correct your children? Then why wouldn't God correct you? Does that even make sense? Does that even make sense, Tim, that God wouldn't correct one of His? He'd just let them do what they want to do? Doesn't make sense. He says, if there is no correction, you're a bastard and none of his. That's what the Bible says. Okay? That's God's standard. That's God's way of doing things. You know why America is the way it is today? Nobody wants God's standards. Okay? You want to know? People will walk around with that, a Christian tattooed on their forehead and living their life just like the world. How is that? How is that? Can I just quote one verse to you? Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Touch not an unclean thing. Be separate. How is that even possible? How can I one way live one way of my life and be called another? How could I? If I'm fitting in with the world and I'm doing exactly what the world's doing and I talk like the world and everything else, tell me, how am I going to be? How's anybody going to see me as a Christian? Now, when I was working at McDonald's, 99% of the time, I never said a word about Christianity. But I would have people come up to me and say, why are you the way you are? I see you go back and correcting your work or, you know, treating people this way and this way. I said, well, why do you think? They go, I think you're a Christian. Am I right? But what was throwing them off was my tattoos. I said, that's right. That's what I am. I'm a Christian. I never had to say it. Actions speak louder than words. And just when you think people aren't watching you, they are. They are. Why? Because that's what happens, Eric. God's standard starts showing out of you. It starts coming out of you. And it's a reflection. And people start seeing, something happened to this guy. It's real easy to change outside. You know what Jesus Christ said? You look nice on the outside. It's wonderful. He said, but you got to clean the inside first. You got to clean the inside first. Your outside can look as messy and nasty and disgusting as it can be. But he says, you got to clean the inside. Because you know what happens when you clean the inside? The reflection comes on the outside. And I'm not talking about just dress. I'm talking about your words, your actions, the things you do, that your mindset now, the way you talk. All that changes. All that changes. You know, I'm going to make a comment. It's going to sound pretty funny to you guys, but you would have to know my background and where I came from. But I sound white, okay? For the first time in my life, I talk like a white person. Because all I did was speak in Ubonics, okay? All I did was speak gangster lifestyle. That's all I ever spoke. If you would ever talk to me on the phone, you would have swore that I was just some guy in the gang. So you would have never known that I was a white guy, ever, by any means. Because God has taken me, Tim, with that King James Bible, and he has brought me from the gutters, and he's slowly transforming me into him. That's changed my mind. It's changed my mouth. It's changed my heart. It's changed my desires. It's changed who I am. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that God does to people when they follow his standards. It's a miracle. And even before I got saved, when I wholeheartedly was seeking and I was reading the Bible, I had things in my life change. The outward appearances changed in me. There were some outward things that really started becoming different. There were things that I started realizing. But the real miracle didn't happen until I got saved. When I got saved, there's no stopping them. Yes, I can get myself caught up in a mess, and for a few weeks I can live on the edge. But God, if Luke and Autumn are doing something, and I know it's dangerous for them, wouldn't I go warn them? Wouldn't I go correct them? Well, that's what God does to one of his. You're getting on the edge, Dale. You guys have heard me tell you my testimonies before. You've heard me come in here, and I looked all scraggly. I'm just not right with God and all that kind of stuff because I was on the edge. But you know what my father did? Most of you guys in this room, you know God is God. That's as far as you know him. But he's teaching me to know him as a father. I didn't have a father in my life. Just so you know, I didn't have a father in my life to teach me nothing. But God and the Father. Why? Because in his character, there's times that God has to deal with you as a father. He doesn't just deal with you as God. He deals with you as a loving, kind, merciful father who has to make decisions for you, not because he hates you, but because he loves you and he wants what's right for you. And you may not understand that. But this and that part, he comes to comfort.
It comes to peace that he gives. I got to make you go this way, Dad. I know you want to go right, but you got to go left. You have to go left, Dale. And at that point, he's still all God, still all knowing. But in that character, he's acting like the father to me. Because he knows I'm not going to handle it well. And I'm a human and I need that compassion of a father at that moment. He knows that. Four times in your New Testament, worded God and the Father. But there's other places it's called God, even the Father, God, the Father, and all that. Okay? But four times, God and the Father. It shows you a distinction of how God is dealing with people on different things. And if you don't understand that, you're always going to look at God as a punishing, mean God who only all he wants to do is chasten you. And that's wrong. That's what most people know God as today. And most people only see him as a religion. And that's wrong. What about knowing him as the Father? I'll give you a little hint. You'll never learn how to love God or understand God as the Father until you get in his standards. I promise you that. Now, let's rephrase that. I don't even promise you that. God promises you. You'll never know him anymore. You'll never know him in an intimate, deep relationship as the Father. All you'll ever know him as is God. That's what you'll know him at for the rest of your life. And most likely, that's going to leave you the same person you've always been because that's a form of religion. Everybody knows the definition of insanity? Guess what the definition of religion is? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. I have a relationship. Anybody here ever been in a relationship? You would do anything for that other person. And that other person would do anything for you. That's what it's like when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, guys. I just want you to know that. It's a two-way street. It's not a burden for me to do what I do for Jesus because of what he done for me. My wife, I love her to death. She's my world. She's my earthly heaven. I love her so much. It's unbelievable how much I love my wife and how much I always fall in love with her. We do things like that for each other. Why? Because we love each other. Well, that's what it's like when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ because you love him and he loves you. It's not a hard thing. It's a thing you want to get right. You want to do the right thing. You want to follow what he says. That's a desire in your heart. Do I mess up with my wife? Of course I mess up with my wife. I'm a human being. Do I mess up with Jesus Christ? Of course I do. But you know what? Making up is always the best. When a husband and wife make up, man, it's fireworks. It's awesome. But you know what? The same thing is with God. When Jesus Christ forgives you for a mistake that you made, it's fireworks, man. You're happy again. All that joy returns. Why? Because that relationship is right. Why? How are we going to get this? We're going to get this by following God's standards, guys. It's not going to come any other way. I promise you it won't. God's standards are a wonderful thing. God, there's so much more I wanted to talk about, but the Lord just had me in a different direction. And I mean, about the same thing. I didn't even have to look at my notes, but he just something he's put in my heart. Is God's standards are life-changing, okay? And I've just got a few minutes, but I want to... I don't even know where to start. You guys know one of the first things of God's standards is a person has to be lost. You guys have been here long enough to understand a person has to come. They have to be brought under conviction by the Holy Ghost through the law, okay? That's how it's going to happen. And if a person doesn't understand the Ten Commandments, you break one Ten Commandment, you're guilty of them all. I mean, every single one of them, you're a murderer, you're a rapist. And I mean, just, it's a filthy mess, okay? And it gets you in a place that you really don't want to be. I was watching the news the other day. I seen a man get sentenced to 27 years for child pornography, and it said his name. And I go, wait a minute, I know that person. Well, because to find out, he's one of the guys that I was working with in the jail. 27 years in a federal prison for messing with children. Because he just, now he called himself a Christian. He's got a charge back from 2008. But let me just say this. In those churches out there, that's what you have running rampant in there. You have those men and women running rampant in those churches. And that's what they're there for.
They're predators, man. Okay? And they call themselves a Christian. Just tell you this. That is not God's standard. It's not God's standard to mess with a little kid. To have those images on your phone, to be looking at that stuff. But let me just give you a warning. When you start messing with pornography, unmarried sex, and so on and so forth, watch yourself. Guard yourself. Guard yourself, because it can happen. Okay? And I'm sure that guy started out as a teenager or a young person looking at normal pornography, and it just wasn't any good anymore. You know why, Randy? He didn't want to hear God's standard. And I sat there for 6 months preaching to this guy. And I always knew there was something different about him. Just could never figure it out until the other day. But that didn't stop me from praying for him, because he could get saved. God could forgive him. And still to this day, it's a hard thing for me to swallow. I'm ex-convict, but we never put up with that stuff. Okay? They would get beat to daylights. I mean, they couldn't walk the floors normal and all that kind of stuff, okay? But you know what? God has the power to change and transform that man's life. But the line is so thin. And now that he's even in prison for 27 years, the line is so thin. He's going to convince himself by knowledge that he's saved. And he's going to try to convince his family on the outside that he's saved. And all he's trying to do is convince himself with knowledge. And I see it happen so many times. Knowledge has its place. But knowledge will not transform your life. Those other Bibles, you can sit down and you can read them, and it doesn't change a person's life. People, you know, you can understand them and such. Well, the King James Bible, you need God to sit down with you. You need the Spirit of God to sit down with you and give you understanding. Do you know why those people change those Bibles, Eric? Because they don't sit down with the Holy Spirit of God and let God show them why that Bible says what it says. They want to make sense of their self. And it's ruining and corrupting the children and young adults and people in America today. It's killing them. You may not understand that Bible, Beth, but I promise you, if you read it, the Spirit of God will sit down with you and He will show you what that Bible means. That's what you need. You don't need some man filling your head full of garbage. You need the Spirit of God to sit down with you in that Bible and teach you. Otherwise, you're not going to have an understanding of it. And you'll want to give up and go to something else to read. Don't do it. Let God sit down and teach you. If He can do it for this bum, ex-drug addict, I got a burnt brain, man. I mean, my life was a mess. And if God can transform my brain into thinking again, do you understand? I think again because I have a clear head and I can think again. If God can sit down and cause a miracle in my brain where I can understand the Bible, Eric, I didn't grow up with the Bible in my head. My mother never brought us to church. People say, gosh, you know that Bible. You know why? Because God sat down with me and taught me. I want to clear the air here. I did study in NIVs, RSVs, NLTs, believe me you, and it never changed a bit of me when I was in prison. There wasn't many Bibles that I didn't read. Okay? I even dabbled in the Quran and the Surahs and all that stuff with the Nation of Islams and all that. I even dabbled in all that stuff. But I promise you, it wasn't until I got that hold of that King James Bible and started believing that as a true word of God that my life ever transformed. I did it, Eric. When's the last time any of you sat on the edge of your bed for 8 hours reading a Bible? That's what I used to do in prison. Commentaries after commentaries after dictionary after dictionary. Got to the point I could almost speak some Greek and everything else. Why? Because it's all I did. I was filling my head with knowledge. You know what knowledge didn't do for me, Eric? It didn't save me. It didn't keep my life. I came out of jail or came out of prison. And I did a few things, attended a few churches that didn't work out. And I went right back to what? Smoking, pornography. I went right back to drinking, drugging, stealing. Why? Because knowledge can't save you. It takes Jesus Christ to save you. Knowledge will never save you. Mark 9, the man who brought his son to get healed. That was the issue that God had with the Father, is that he had a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he didn't have the belief of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe. Why? Because he's heard about Jesus Christ. He heard the stories that was going on about the healing and so on. So he had a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he didn't believe that God could do it for him. until you get to that belief. Don't keep it here. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
I'm going to close with this. David said this, it's an impossible task for man to do. Impossible. But David understood one thing. This is what he said. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. What do you mean? Jeremiah 17:9 says, I have a wicked heart, desperately wicked. But God can create a new heart in you. Not a perfect one. You're still going to have your desires. You're still going to have all that. But God slowly can create a new heart in you. A new heart. He can take that old, nasty, stony heart that you have and give you a fleshly heart. What's that fleshly heart? That fleshly heart is the standards of God that are now allowed to penetrate that and get in there and change your life. That's what that does. Right now, if you're not a saved person, you still have that rock, hard rock, and God's word and his spirit aren't getting in there. It's not penetrating. It's not doing a thing to you. You're still staying the same old person with the same old depressions, with the same old ways of life, doing the same old things. And you may have changed a few outward appearances and this and that, but it hasn't changed a bit of who you are. But God says, you know what? I'll change that. Because I can create he can create a new heart in us. And that transforms us more and more like Christ. Now we're to be transformed into his image. And that's what that does when he does that for us. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his miracles. Thank God for what he does. Thank God for his mercy to even look down upon us and even want to do something like that for a wretched man like me. Thank God. And he wants to do the same for every single person that's in this room and every single person that's sitting upstairs. Would you get into God's standards? Would you give him that time? I know we're all busy. I know everybody works and goes to school. I do. I get that. Because if I sat here and rattled off one day of what I do one day, 5 to 6 days a week, you'd be shocked as well. I'm not a man who just sits home and does nothing. But let me ask you this. You must be diligent in seeking God. Even as a saved person, call me crazy, I get up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock every single day just so I can get my Bible and my reading in. And I enjoy it. I love every minute of it. Every single minute when I come in here and preach, it's because I'm in the morning, I'm sitting there reading my Bible. Do my days go perfect? No, they don't. But I'm still diligent and seeking God because he tells me to do it and he'll reward me for doing it. Are all my bills paid? No. Are all my cars fixed? No. Is my house all fixed? No. But it's here. It's who I am. It's the life I have now. It's not physical. Everybody, what did the Jews look for? They wanted to be rich and have the kingdom and rule over the whole world when Jesus Christ came. And he said, that's not what I came for. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. Inside of me. That's where it's at, Randy. It's inside of me. That's the miracle. That's what he wants to change. All the other stuff is just a blessing. All the other stuff is just an extra bonus that he gives. How wonderful of a God to look out for me. And so think about that, guys. Think about what God has told you today. I know it's something that has told somebody's heart. God has touched somebody's heart in here, maybe all your heart at one point or another, because he sure does with me. It's not that I'm pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing at myself because I have to live this too. Remember, my messages come from something that I went through. I'm not just telling you something because I believe you're the only ones who need it. I've been through here. God showed me this. And that, thank God, I didn't even need my notes. I got 4 pages of notes that I didn't even need. I preached the whole thing without even looking at a note. Why? Because God taught me that in my heart. Something I live by. And so follow God's standards, guys. Get in there and do what he says.